Welcome to the Noracast Tech Briefing. I'm your host, Host A.
And I'm Host B. Today, we are looking at a fascinating push by Anthropic to bring agentic AI directly to small businesses, effectively bypassing the enterprise bottleneck. We've also got a look at a tiny 26 million parameter AI model that distills Gemini's tool calling abilities down to something you could run on a smartwatch.
Plus, researchers at the University of Warwick have discovered hidden transitional materials that could completely upend how we manufacture next-generation batteries. Let's get into it. Let's start with Anthropic. On May 13, 2026, they rolled out Claude for Small Business. This isn't just a marketing push. It's a dedicated package of connectors and agentic workflows integrated right into Claude Cowork.
And the key here is where it connects. They've built direct integrations for QuickBooks, PayPal, HubSpot, Canva, DocuSign, Google Workspace, and Microsoft 365. This is the exact software stack that basically every small business runs on.
Right. Small businesses account for 44% of US GDP. But if you look at the AI adoption curve over the last couple of years, they've completely lagged behind. Enterprise tools require custom builds, dedicated engineering teams, and massive budgets. Anthropic is trying to offer an operating layer that just toggles on.
They are shipping it with 15 ready-to-run agentic workflows and 15 reusable skills. We're talking about automating payroll planning, month-end financial closing, and chasing down unpaid invoices. Those are the exact clerical tasks that drain a small business owner's time.
But putting an AI in charge of your month-end close or having it autonomously email clients to chase invoices requires an immense amount of trust. If an enterprise AI hallucinates a marketing slogan, it's embarrassing. If a small business AI hallucinates a payroll deduction, it's a legal liability.
Which is probably why Anthropic is taking this directly to the people. They are launching a 10-city U.S. tour starting May 14th. They're offering free AI fluency training and throwing in a one-month Claude Max subscription for attendees. They know they have to build trust face-to-face.
It's an interesting strategy, almost a throwback to how software was sold in the 90s. But it's worth noting this isn't a separate, cheaper pricing tier. It's a feature package that's available to existing Claude team and enterprise users.
That might be the friction point. If you still have to buy into the team or enterprise tier, you're still paying a premium, and they are stepping directly into the territory of incumbents like Microsoft and Intuit. Intuit is already heavily embedding their own AI agents into QuickBooks. Why would a business owner use Claude to talk to QuickBooks when QuickBooks has its own native AI?
Anthropic's bet is that business owners want a single, unified agent that can see across the entire stack. QuickBooks knows your accounting, but it doesn't know what's in your HubSpot CRM or your DocuSign contracts. Claude for Small Business is trying to be the connective tissue between all those isolated apps.
It's a bold play. If they can actually deliver reliable, hallucination-free execution on these 15 workflows, it could legitimately change the unit economics of running a small business.
Speaking of changing the economics of AI, let's talk about a project that just hit Hacker News called Needle. It was released by a group called Cactus Compute, and it challenges the entire premise of how we build AI agents.
Needle is a model designed exclusively for single-shot function calling, and the headline here is the size. It is only 26 million parameters. For context, the frontier models we usually talk about are hundreds of billions, if not over a trillion parameters.
Because it's so tiny, the performance is just absurd. On standard consumer devices, Needle achieves 6,000 tokens per second for prefill and 1,200 tokens per second for decode. It is virtually instantaneous.
To get that kind of speed, Cactus Compute had to rethink the architecture. They used what they're calling a simple attention network. They completely stripped out the feed-forward layers, the FFNs, which usually make up a massive chunk of a model's compute overhead. Needle relies entirely on attention and gating mechanisms.
And the training process is where this gets controversial. They pre-trained it on 200 billion tokens, but then they used 2 billion tokens of synthetic function calling data distilled directly from Google's Gemini 3.1 Flash Lite.
Right. The developers openly acknowledge that distilling data from Gemini to train a competing model is a direct violation of Google's terms of service. Yet, they've published the whole project on GitHub under an MIT license, including the weights and the training code.
It forces a conversation about the long-term viability of open-source projects that rely on proprietary distillation. Google could easily send a cease and desist. But putting the legal drama aside, the technical thesis here is fascinating. Most agents use massive models to do both the deep reasoning and the mechanical tool calling. Cactus Compute argues that tool calling isn't a reasoning task at all. It's just retrieval and assembly.
Exactly. If you just need a model to look at a user's prompt, realize they want the weather, and format a JSON payload to hit a weather API, you do not need a trillion parameter brain to do that. You just need a highly optimized router.
If this no FFN architecture holds up, it means we could push agentic workflows out to the very edge of the network. You could run a model like Needle locally on a budget smartphone or a smart watch without draining the battery or requiring a cloud round trip.
The open question is whether separating the tool calling from the core reasoning introduces new failure points. If the tiny model misinterprets the nuance of a complex prompt, it might call the wrong tool before the larger reasoning model ever gets a chance to weigh in. But at 1,200 tokens a second, it's a risk a lot of developers are going to want to experiment with.
For our final deep dive, we're stepping away from software and looking at physical hardware, specifically a breakthrough in material science that could transform clean energy and battery technology.
This comes from researchers at the University of Warwick, who just published a fascinating study in Nature Communications. They've discovered previously unknown hidden material phases by changing how they observe the chemical synthesis process.
To understand why this is a big deal, you have to look at how material science traditionally operates. Usually, scientists take their starting ingredients, heat them up, and then analyze the final product. It's very focused on the beginning and the end of the reaction.
Right. But the Warwick team, led by Dr. Sebastian Pike, decided to track the transitional states. They looked closely at what happens during the heating of what they call single-source precursors. These are compounds that contain all the necessary elements to form a desired material, just waiting to be activated by heat.
And what they found is that during that heating process, the material passes through intermediate phases that are usually completely overlooked because they are unstable and temporary. But Dr. Pike noted that these hidden phases can possess incredibly valuable practical properties.
It's a paradigm shift in how we discover materials. Instead of just relying on trial and error to see what final product pops out, they are mapping the entire journey. And they are finding that the intermediate steps might actually be more useful for certain applications than the final stable product.
The implications for the battery industry and clean energy are massive. We are constantly hunting for materials that offer better energy density, faster charging, or better thermal stability. If we've been ignoring these transitional phases, we might have been walking right past the exact materials we need for next-generation solar cells or solid-state batteries.
The obvious challenge here is stabilization. If these materials are inherently transitional, how do you freeze them in that state so you can manufacture millions of battery cells out of them? They are unstable by nature.
That's the next frontier for this research, figuring out how to arrest the chemical reaction at the exact right moment and lock in those hidden properties for mass commercial production. But just knowing that these phases exist and having a methodology to track them fundamentally expands the periodic table of possibilities for clean energy engineers.
All right, let's hit a few more stories real quick before we sign off.
Sounds good. Let's jump into the roundup.
In aerospace news, Iridium Communications announced they are acquiring the remaining 61% of Aireon LLC for approximately $366.7 million when you factor in $155 million in assumed debt. By bringing Aireon fully in-house, Iridium is positioning itself to offer a unified aviation safety platform, which is critical right now, given the surge in GPS interference issues globally.
Over in academia, Carnegie Mellon University just hit a major milestone, graduating its first ever student with a Bachelor of Science in Robotics, Bev DaCosta.
CMU has had the premier robotics department since 1979, but it was strictly for master's and doctoral students. They finally launched the undergrad program in the fall of 2023, making it the first of its kind among elite U.S. computer science schools.
They currently have 24 students enrolled and plan to cap it at about 100 total undergraduates. It really highlights how robotics has matured from a niche graduate research topic into a foundational engineering discipline of its own.
This next one is a wild story about AI and digital hoarding. A user managed to recover 5 Bitcoin, worth about $400,000, from a wallet they hadn't been able to access since 2015.
The user spent 8 weeks trying to brute force the password, testing over 3.5 trillion combinations with zero luck. Finally, they uploaded over a gigabyte of data from an old college computer into Anthropic's Claude AI.
Claude didn't crack the encryption, but it acted as an expert digital forensic investigator. It sifted through the messy archives, found a forgotten wallet backup file, and even debugged an issue with an open source recovery script. A $400,000 payout for a well-structured prompt.
Back to the academic world, MIT President Sally Kornbluth announced a severe contraction in the research pipeline. Incoming graduate student enrollment for the next year is down nearly 20%.
That represents about 500 fewer graduate students arriving on campus. Kornbluth also noted a corresponding 20% drop in campus research activity funded by federal awards compared to last year.
The university is pointing to federal budget pressures, funding uncertainty, and shifting visa policies for international students. It's a stark warning about the health of the U.S. academic research ecosystem and the future pipeline of elite scientists.
A. Finally, a quick update on the developer tools front. GitHub issue 59154 for Anthropic's Claude code is gaining traction, requesting a new environment variable for permission modes.
Claude code currently lets organizations enforce strict permission modes via managed settings, preventing the AI from executing risky shell commands without human approval. But developers are finding this creates too much friction.
They want an environment variable override, so they don't have to use command line flags or shell aliases for every single invocation. It's a perfect microcosm of the classic tension between centralized enterprise security and the daily workflow needs of individual developers.
And that is all we have time for on today's Noracast Tech Briefing.
Thanks for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow to break down the latest news across AI, robotics, and the future of tech. Have a great day.